All right, so we are holding on your demo on the bays, about the bit above the middle of the narrow lines of Eleazar. We said in the mission of Eleazar, we had like this. We said in the mission that a person drinks a revius of wine, and goes into the Bechveachilis Pras, then, and he goes into the Bechmikdash and does the Avodah, then he's higher. We actually have a choice. We're showing him whether only going into the Bechmikdash alone is also, or whether it's, whether it's Zakhba doing the Avodah, whatever. Rabbi Elazar says in the Mishnah that if he paused during the drinking, like he didn't drink it all in one gulp, or if he mixed some wine into it, then he would be potter. So let's talk about that. Tana Rabbana, we learn in a Braisa. The pasuk says, Yayim b'sheicher al teisht. Hashem says to Aaron, don't drink wine and sheicher when you go to the oil mill. And we'll see soon what sheicher means. Yachal afilu kol shehu, so you would think that means you're not even allowed to drink any amount of wine before you go into the Bishnestesh. Afilu migitay, even if it's freshly squeezed, freshly pressed juice, so it hasn't fermented yet. Tamad lima b'sheicher, no, therefore the pasuk continues b'sheicher, which sheicher means, sheicher is related to the word sheicher. It means strong drink, it means something alcoholic. Ein osur ela kedei l'shaker, so it's only osur if there's enough in it, enough alcohol and enough amount in it to make the person drunk. V'kama kedei l'shaker, so how much is considered enough to make a person drunk? Revius yayin ben nem yayin. It has to be at least a revius, it has to be a revius of wine, and it has to be the wine that's been fermenting for at least 40 days. Okay, in pain, matamad levi yayin. Then in that case, why say yayin at all? Just say sheicher and have done with it. The reason is, loy malachshim is horan ala kol shehu. That teaches us there is an iser for any amount, umaz horan ala megitah. There is an iser even if it was freshly tweezed. But there's no misa b'day shemayim. The pasuk is saying that if a kohen goes and does the avodah, drinking wine, Hashem warns down and don't do that, below some musa, and you won't die. Implying if a person does, if a kohen does do that, he will die. Misa b'day shemayim. So the point is that the Braisa is saying, it mentions yayin and it mentions sheicher, but the iser applies to both of them. So a kohen drank grape juice, he can't go and do the avodah. Or if he drank less than a revius of wine. But to be chayav misa b'day shemayim, that would only be if he drank the revius of fermented wine. And by the way, also we learned in Zvachim that that's one of the cases where the avodah would be possible if he did the avodah after drinking. So that's also relevant according to the Chachamim. We would say that according to the Chachamim, this Braisa, we'd say that if he drank grape juice and did the avodah, okay, he committed an issur, but the avodah is not mechulo. The avodah he did it still kosher. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda says, now we learn differently from yayin. We learn like this, ainli ala yayin. From the word, if we only had the word yayin in the pasuk, you would think it only applies to wine. Sharm shakti minayin. Rabbi Yehuda says, how do we know it applies to other things that can make a person drunk or lightheaded or whatever? He says that's what we learn from the word b'sheicher, not like the Tanakama that sheicher means that it has to be got for wine that was fermented, and yayin teaches us that even for grape juice there's an azara. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that no, the yayin means wine, and sheicher means other kinds of things that would make you drunk, as the Gemara will give some examples soon. So that's why it says yayin b'sheicher, right. In pain, matam adlam a yayin. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what does yayin teach us? It means ala yayin mishnah al shan mashkin vazhara. It means similar, but to the time of Kama, but different. Wine, there's misubidei shemayim, and it makes the avodah possible if you did it. But the other kinds of drinks, or the other kinds of foods, as we're going to see soon, that are able to make a person drunk, those kinds of things, there's only an azhara. There's only a warning. There's only a lav to not eat or drink them and then do the avodah. And then we have a third opinion, Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar. Yayin al teisht v'sheicher. Rabbi Lazar basically rearranges the words of the pasuk. When it says yayin v'sheicher al teisht, don't drink wine and sheicher, do not drink. So he rearranges it. Yayin al teisht v'sheicher. Or actually on the bottom it says when some teres koinim, he's saying the word al teisht has to refer individually to both of them. Don't drink wine and don't drink sheicher. From which Rabbi Lazar learns al teishteu kederach shekrusay. That means when you offer to drink wine, there'll be consequences, is only if you drink it in the way that gets you drunk. Ha im hishtifa, only in the way that people therefore if you interrupt, a person normally drinks the revius in one gulp, because the revius is not that much. Ha im hishtifa, so if he pauses in the middle of it, I'm not going to say for my impulse, he puts any amount of water into it, potter, then as he said in the Mishnah, he potter. So those are the three things.
Okay.
The mai plivi, So what is the underlying machlokes? The Tanakhama Sava Gamin and Sheikho Sheikho Minozer. The Tanakhama says we have to understand the meaning of the word Sheikhar using a Zera Shava from a Nazir. Now a Nazir is only also to drink wine and grape products. He's not also, for example, to drink beer or mashke. There's no Nazir drinking beer or mashke or it's strictly wine and grape products. So the Tanakhama says, therefore, Sheikhar has to be the same thing over here. So it can't mean Shar Meshachin. It can't mean, like Rabbi Yehuda says, other things that make you drunk. But Rabbi Yehuda lo yalav Sheikhar Sheikhar Minazir. Rabbi Yehuda does not learn that Kedah Shavah. So, but Rabbi Lazar Sabar, Rabbi Lazar says, my Sheikhar midi yuhu Meshachin. And Rabbi Lazar says that the word Sheikhar has to mean something that makes you drunk, but he agrees with the Tanakhama that it's only wine and wine products. So he's the more makel on the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama just said a person drinks a revius, even if he calls in the middle of it, and he says no. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kaman Ozla Hodatanya. Which of these opinions does it go like this that it says in the following Braisa? Ocho Devela Ke'ilis. If a person ate a dried fig from Ke'ilah, Ke'ilah is a city in the south of Eretz Yisrael. The figs that they grew there apparently were exceptionally sweet, and therefore, when they dried them, either like a person would eat them and get a sugar high, and that would be like getting drunk, or what it would mean is like sometimes they were so juicy that they could start fermenting. As long as you have sugar and liquid, it can start fermenting, right? And then therefore you have something mildly alcoholic. The shot of dvash, or the person drank honey. We don't mean actual honey like the kind we use on Rosh Hashanah. We mean mead, an alcoholic beverage made from honey. Or he drank milk. Well, okay, milk doesn't get you drunk per se, but still, it makes you tired and sleepy and loggy and sleepy and whatever. Yeah. And again, also, it could be, again, milk is able to ferment also, seeing how it's got sugar in it. Well, it can, though. I mean, they didn't have refrigerators in those days. It's very possible that sometimes their milk would actually have started fermenting a little bit. Well, eventually, you leave it enough time, it'll turn into cream or what have you, but you leave it a little bit, and it just mildly ferments. Okay, anyway, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, but pastures, it could mean that, or it could mean even it's fresh milk, but it makes you tired and heavy and whatever. That's the famous thing, for example, why Yoel gave Sisera milk to drink before she drove the pen peg through his head, yeah. Anyway, the nichnas from Mikdash, and then the person went into the Mikdash, the Shemesh, and he did the avodah over there, Moike. So Chayev, it says on the side, so he gets Malk. So command to Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently that must be only like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar would disagree with him they wouldn't even say it's included in Atzara. Rabbi Yehuda says it's an Atzara. Rabbi Yehuda is the only one who mentions Shal Meshachin and the other things that make you drunk.
They would say what?
They would say that you're not chayav for those things. You drank, you ate a Devela Kehilus and you went and did the Avoda. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Yeah. Okay.
You got mashke?
I don't know. I mean, mashke didn't exist in those days. They hadn't invented it yet, so I have no idea. I mean, nowadays we don't have avodah. We do have birkas koyanim, and actually that's true. Some of these dinim are relevant to birkas koyanim. So is a koyan allowed to duffen after he drank mashke? I really don't know. Okay. Who is the halacha like? Omer of Yehuda Baruch Hussoi, halacha k'rabalazer. The halacha is like k'rabalazer, that even if you mixed in a little wine or whatever, then you're not considered drunk. But Kori Rav Aleid Rav Elazar Tuvina Dechachimi. So Rav said, Rav Elazar is the best and the most fortunate of the Chachamim. Why the compliment? But Orach Laner says an interesting thing. We know in those times they commonly drank wine. So therefore, by Rav Elazar saying that, yeah, as long as you drink it in two gulps, which the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that a refined person, a Talmid Chacham, is not going to drink a revius in one gulp. They are going to drink it in two gulps. That's the more refined thing to do. So therefore, automatically, it comes out according to Rabbi Elazar, the Chacham aren't going to be drunk just by drinking a revius of wine, which is a good thing for them. With that said, by the way, we're going to see soon in the Gemara that aside from the Koyanim serving in the Dismissal, this is also relevant to the question of a Rav Paskin in Halach. So therefore, it's important to see he's drunk. Right, if we say, according to Rabbi Elazar, that he takes the revius of wine, but he drinks one part of it, and then he pauses and then drinks another, then he won't be considered drunk, according to Rabbi Elazar. The pasture is any amount, unless he drinks it in one gulp. Okay. And with that said, though, the Rambam does pass in, like Rabbi Yehuda, that if the person ate the Devela Ke'ilis or whatever, then he's over on a lab, which the Ravid argues with him, and there's a lot of discussion why it should be so. One reason is because there are other Gemaras that imply differently, and another reason is because he might understand the halacha is only, like Rabbi Lazar, as far as the details of when he's Chayiv Misa, but not necessarily that of when there's an Azhara.
Okay.
So the Gemara tells the case, Rav Acha de Hutzel, have a Nidre Alei de Vesu, Rav Acha of Hutzel, from Hutzel, the name of a city in Bavel, had a neder regarding his wife. He had made a neder not to have Anah from her, which as we learn from Nedarim, sometimes people would do that for one reason or another. Well, he wanted to be Matir Neder. Also the Kamei de Rav Ashi. So he came to Rav Ashi on a Yom Tov to be Matir Neder, on the lay, and Rav Ashi tells him, Zil Ha'idna B'tolam Acher, Go away today and come back tomorrow. I can't be Matir Neder for you today. And the reason is because it's on Yom Tov, and not even on Yom Tov necessarily. No, it wasn't necessarily on Yom Tov, sorry. You can't be Matir Neder on Yom Tov anyway, unless it's necessary for Yom Tov. No, but it was after Rav Ashi had already eaten his meal for the day and drank wine with the meal. Yeah. So then the reason, and Rav Ashi says, because you can see that a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to pass in Halacha under such circumstances, the Rav lo muki amur alei yom tov lachare mishum shichus. We see that Rav would not set up an Amora, which as we know, the Chacham would have an Amora to explain what they're saying to the public. So he would not garishin from one Yom Tov to the next, meaning after he had eaten his Yom Tov meal, he wouldn't garishin any time during the rest of that day because of the problem of drunkenness. So he drank, and therefore he can't be saying a drasha that includes halacha. A different explanation of miyom tov lachavre means that he wouldn't set up on the first day of Yom Tov, after he had eaten like this, he needs to be starting to inform people of the dinim for the second day of Yom Tov, but he wouldn't do it later that day, miyom tov lachavre, to explain on the first day of Yom Tov the dinim that they need to know for the second day for the same reason, because it's after he had eaten and therefore he had drank. So therefore, by the same token, I can't be matir neder for you. Amrle, sort of Acha says, well, Amr Rav Halacha to Rav Elazar. Didn't Rav say that the Halacha is like Rav Elazar, that as long as you mix in wine, then it doesn't make you drunk? Umarhu de Karami Bemaya, and you, Rebbe, Rav Ashi, mix water with your wine, which in general they did in those days. They used to dilute their wine. We find all over Shas. Whether it's because their wine was stronger alcoholically, or it was syrupy, or it tastier, and had an old thing. Yeah, the usual rule was it was one part of wine to two or three parts of water. Nowadays, we don't do that because all wines are not, exactly. If we diluted them too much, they wouldn't be considered wine anymore. So there's a minute that some people have, like the Kabbalah, that they add a couple of drops of wine, a couple of drops of water to the Kiddush cup before they start Kiddush. But in any case, no, the whole concept of diluting with several parts water doesn't exist nowadays.
And how much can you dilute to be considered wine?
I think the official thing is as long as the total is at least 1/6 wine, then it's 1/6. But again, nowadays all wines are already diluted with a fair amount of water.
Pure wine.
If you were to take pure wine. Yeah, I think so. Anyway, so the question is again, you'd have actually have diluted your wine. So what is what's the problem? Amalei, so Rav Ashi says, Holei Kasha, that's not a contradiction. Rabbi Lozer in the Mishnah and the Braise is talking about where he drank exactly of the beer. So yeah, if he mixes in water, then that dilutes the effects of it. But I drank more than a Revius, so mixing in wine doesn't mix in water doesn't help. Okay. Turn it up on me.
Well, that means more than a Revius, you cannot dilute.
Well, no, it means in other words that even if you dilute it, it doesn't help because you drank a Revius of wine. So yeah. Okay. Turn it up on me. We learn it a bright. So the Pasuk says, okay, so you have the Pasuk Hashem says to Aaron, don't drink wine or shecho when you go into the oil moir and do the avodah. Then the next passage continues, Ula havdil bein hakodesh or bein hachol. Actually, yeah, okay. So you have two psukim that go like this. After the passage about the kohenim not drinking wine, the passage continues, Ula havdil bein hatomei or bein hachol. Ula havdil bein hakodesh or bein hachol, to distinguish between the holy and the unholy. Ula bein hatomei or bein hachol. Ula hodeh says bnei Yisrael, and to teach bnei Yisrael eitz kol hachokim, all of the laws that Hashem spoke to Moshe. Two psukim. When the Pasuk says, Ula havdil bein hakodesh or bein hachol, to distinguish between what's holy and what's unholy, Elu domin ve'erchen charomin ve'hekdeshin. This refers to judging cases of domim and erchin, which we learned about, and haramim, which we learned about in the Masechta Erchin, and hektish in general. So all those things, as we learned over there, yeah, the koyanim or the gizborim or whatever, have to evaluate them and see what their value is. So in the case of erchin, they have to evaluate how much assets the person has in order to know how much he has to pay. So you can't do that after you've drunk wine. Because then, again, you're going to be, you're not all mentally there. And therefore you're not gonna come to a correct decision. So it wouldn't be considered a valid evaluation. You're not supposed to, or maybe it would, but the evidence be considered, but you're not supposed to do it. So no dayonim while under the influence. Yeah. Okay. So the Havdom and Akkodish of Enachol again refers to cases involving Hekdish. This refers to judge to deciding cases of tumah and tara, after drinking. When the next pasuk continues and to teach, that refers to teaching a practical psak halacha.
You can learn Torah, but you cannot teach it.
Basically, well, we're going to see one second. Eis kolachokim. When the pasuk continues, all of the laws elu medrashis. This refers to midrashas when you darshan in a public drasha, so you're not allowed to because in such a drasha, you have hurrah, you have explanations of what the practical halacha would be in the course of the drasha. Different explanation is also midrashas, so the idea means like the midrashim that you have, like a Torah Konim or whatever, where you analyze the process and derive a halacha from it. Asher Dibra Hashem, when the prophet continues, which Hashem spoke, zu halacha. This refers to halacha for Moshe Mitzine. When it says biyad Moshe, in the hands of Moshe, zet Talmud. This means also you're not supposed to be teaching Talmud, which remember, Talmud doesn't necessarily mean just the Gemara that we have in front of us. It means the analysis of the halacha, which is the basic stuff of the Gemara, analyzing in what cases is the Mishnah talking about that a certain halacha applies, why, where do we get it from, related to it. So to put it in modern terms, for example, Shulchan Aruch itself would be more like Mishnah, and the Nosei Kalim on it, the Shach, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, etc., would be like Gemara, where they analyze what the Shulchan Aruch is saying and say, for example, okay, so where did he get this halacha from, and does it apply across the board, or are there exceptions to it, etc., etc.
That's called
Talmud, or Gemara, yeah. So that, you know, right. Yochol Acham. Right. Yochol Acham Mishnah, you would think the same thing applies to the Mishnah, to the cut and dried halachos that you're not allowed to teach them at that time. No, Talmud Loma Ulohodos, therefore the Pasuk says and to teach. The point being, you're not allowed to pass in halacha directly from the Mishnah, because, as we know from the Gemara, many times the Mishnah will say something and it's only according to one Tana, or it only applies in a certain circumstance or whatever, so you're not supposed to pass in halacha directly. And by the way, you mentioned the Shulchan Aruch, for example. When the Shulchan Aruch came out, many of the Rabbanim of that time were not very happy with it for the same reason, because now people are going to start passing directly from the text to the Shulchan Aruch, which you're not supposed to. You don't have the reasoning behind it. You don't have the details when it applies, when it doesn't apply. And in fact, so you have the one of the Rabbanim of that time in the generation after the Shulchan Aruch, for example, by the way, the Maharsha mentions up in Sota when it talks about the idea that you're not supposed to pass the halacha from the Mishnah. The Maharsha, who was a younger man when the Shulchan Aruch came out, he says, passing from Shulchan Aruch is an excellent example of that. Don't do that. So anyway, what eventually happened was Rabbanim realized that Shulchan Aruch is getting accepted. So one of the Rabbanim of that time, named Rabbi Yaakov Yeshua Follett, wrote a commentary on the Tur, which he called Prisha and Jewisha. Later on, he turned his attention to Shulchan Aruch. Look, if people are going to be passing from Shulchan Aruch, which is better if they don't, then at least let's write a commentary on it to explain, to give a Gemara on the Shulchan Aruch.
Should they be passing directly from the Gemara?
No, so we don't pass them directly from the Gemara either. That's why you need the Shulchan Aruch, and you need the Nosei Kalim, and you need the Shailos Shuvos, and you need whatever. You need to analyze. It's not just you look in Shulchan Aruch and you see a black letter halacha, and that's it. You have to analyze, does this apply in this particular case? So sometimes, and obviously, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, you have certain cut and dried halacha.
Right.
But when you have things that are not so obvious, then you need to start, then you need analysis. That's Talmud. Anyway, the upshot is he started writing a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, which he called Sefer Me'irat Einayim. In the event, he only had a chance to write it on Choshen Mishpat, and he passed away. But that became one of the, that became the first of the Noseh Kalim, actually the first of the major Noseh Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, and it's printed with Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. We call it the Smith, for sure. Smar or Smer, whatever. And then later on, the Taz and the Shach and the Morgan Avram and so forth came and did the same thing for the other parts of Shulchan Aruch. This is in the 1600s.
What was his name?
Rabbi Yaakov Yeshua Follett. He was actually the grandfather of the Pnei Yeshua. He was an important rabbi in his own right. In Poland. So therefore, so the Braisa is telling us so far, you are allowed to teach Mishnah even after you've drunk wine, because you can't pass the halacha directly from the Mishnah anyway. But all these other things, all these other areas of Torah where you could Paskin direct halachas from what you've said or what you heard, then you can't be teaching them while you're drunk. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda disagrees. He says, Yachalat Talmud, Tamadlai Moralarius. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda says that also you're allowed to teach Talmud, the analysis of the Mishnah, because again, that doesn't always necessarily lead to a practical to a practical conclusion in halacha. Well, one second. Keman Oz Lahadatanya. Which of these opinions is the following Braisa according to? Which the Braisa says, Yotta Sheret Tomer Svadeh Tahar, as opposed to, you're allowed to teach that a sheriff is Tomei when it's dead, or but on the other hand, that frog when it's dead is Tahar. Shastriya Yayin Murda, and even people who drunk wine are allowed to teach such halachas. Name it of Yesi Bibihoda, he blowed up on him. Apparently, that would only be a coincidence of Yesi Bibihoda. Because according to the Chachamim, you're not even allowed to teach Gemara. You're surely not allowed to teach any Psak Halacha, and that's a Psak Halacha.
That
a Sheret is Tomei and a Tzadeya is Tor. The answer is no. I feel the Tamer Rabbana. No, you could say that Braisa goes according to the Chachamim also. The Shiny Halacha is different in that case. The Zilkore Deiravu. That's something that you can tell your kid. Go learn it and say it. Yeah, in other words, everybody knows that. It's obvious from the Psukim that a sheriff is Tomei and a Tzadeya is Tahar. So that kind of thing, yes, even a Shosu Yain, even if somebody who's drunk wine, is allowed to say such a halacha. That's what I'm saying. So you have certain black letter halachas where, you know, it's a known and universal thing, and even little kids know it. So that kind of...
That
would be a problem. Then it's a problem even if it's sober, because then he's going against halacha.
Well, no, it's sober. But if you drank the beef and he said,
you have a problem because then he's misleading people. So you should know better. But the point is, in other words, so far what we have is you are allowed to teach halachas that everybody knows, that are Zilkore Beirav. You're also allowed, according to the Chachamim, you're also allowed to teach Mishnah, the kind of halacha, the kind of compendium of halacha where you don't necessarily pass the halacha directly from it. Another good example of it, might be learning Rambam. We don't pass in direct halacha directly from the Rambam. I mean, you have certain communities that do, the Yemenites, whatever, but for the rest of the Jewish people, we don't pass in halacha. What? Yeah, some Yemenites do, but the rest of us don't. So therefore, you'd be allowed to teach Rambam, let's say, after having drunk wine. Because you're not passing halacha. Right. So the question is, didn't we just say before that Rav, after he had had his Yom Tov meal, wouldn't darshan in public? Now, what he's darshaning is Gemara. So if we're saying, according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, that you're allowed to teach Gemara, you'd be allowed to teach Joshua as well. What's wrong with that? The answer is no. Shiny Rav, Ge'ori Movi. The difference is that Rav is, Rav is always teaching halacha. The question is Venetum Deloy Lodi. Okay, so in his Jerusha, that's the thing. So let him just say, okay, I'm not gonna pass him halacha. But the answer is Kol Hecha B'Yosef Rav, wherever Rav is sitting and teaching, Loy Sagi Loy Beloy Hara. It's impossible for there not to be a Hara. Always, whenever Rav was saying something, they would always be deriving. The Rashi says the reason is because everybody was always asking him halacha. So even if he was garishing on a nice Jerusha and Shul or whatever, people would be asking him what the practical halacha that comes out from what he said. The Rambam says it slightly differently. That in other words, inevitably, in the course of Rav's Jerusha, there would sneak in something that you could learn practical halacha from. sort of like, I mean, you think of it, let's say, in terms of like a sticha of the Rebbe, right? You know, the Rebbe said something in a sticha, and we take that as, you know, that's a given, and, you know, that's what it is, on Torah, and therefore it's a hara, you know, it's a hara, the Rabbim, et cetera. So therefore, you know, so it's a similar concept. So Rav couldn't do that after he drank wine, because people are going to be deriving halacha from whatever he said. Okay. Well, I don't know if he was the only one, but he's an example where we see that therefore he was careful about that, and after he had his yom tov meal and drank wine, he wouldn't be giving his direction. Okay. Mishnah says. So now in the next couple of Mishnayos, we're going to talk about examples where a person can be high of multiple chatois for one action. And this is going to get into the whole matter of isu halal isu. So the Mishnah says, yesh oichal achila achas v'chayoven alayah arba chatois, arba chatois. There is a case where a person can eat one thing, one kezayis or something, and he's going to be chayav it for four chatois, the asham echad plus one asham. What's the case? Tomei, sha'ochal chaylev, so a person who's tomei, and he ate chaylev, so far he's been over on the issue of chaylev. One second. V'hoyer noiser min hamukdoshin, this chaylev was left over from a korban beyond the time that the korban was supposed to be eaten. It came from a korban, and Yom Kippurim, and this took place on Yom Kippur. So he got a chata, assuming it was all the shogeg, he's got a chata for chelev, one for noiser, one for Yom Kippur, one for eating it when he was tummy, plus a me'ilah, also an ashan me'ilah, for the fact that he committed me'ilah because he ate the chelev. One interesting point they bring up is why would we consider it me'ilah? What monetary value does it have? Once it's noiser, it has to be burnt. So a couple of answers. One interesting one is Rashi points out later. Otherwise, me'ilah means that you're misusing something that belongs to Hekdesh and has monetary value, but if that's to be burnt, then it's also enough. But so one answer is actually, since we learned in Zvachim that noso is one of those things that in all lo yered, if you do bring it up on the mizbeach, you don't take it off the mizbeach, you allow it to burn there. So it's considered that Hekdesh has an intrinsic interest in it. Okay. So those are the four chatois and the one asham. Reb Meir says, I can add a fifth.
If you didn't know any of them, that it was...
Well, that's shogeg. That's one type of shogeg.
So you would be only one.
No. He's still high of one chatois for each type of aveir. The same way as, for example, even a tinnik shenishba, when he finds out that he's a Jew, he's going to bring one chatois for all the Shabbosim that he broke, and one chatois for all the avodah zarah that he worshipped, and one for all the chelev that he ate, etc. So, because each shem Isser, each name of Isser, carries a different chatos. So over here, each of these is a different name of Isser. Reb Meir says, I can find another one. Im hoya Shabbos v'hoytiyah, if it was Shabbos, and he carried it outside, which Tosfos explains, means that, let's say, it's a wild... No. Well, okay, let's say it doesn't matter, really. I mean, if it was Chelet and Shlomim, for example, then it could be anywhere near Shlomim. But if he carried it outside into the Shufarabim, meaning Tosfos says, let's say he was chewing it and he walked outside, still with it in his mouth. Now, usually, you carry something in your mouth on Shabbos, it's not an Isur Daraisa, and a person not five Achatos for it, because carrying something in your mouth is not the normal way of doing it. But over here, when we're talking about, you're only chayav for doing things in the normal way. But food in a person's mouth is the normal place to carry it. Therefore, a person would be chayav, and this is relevant nowadays also. A person, you're not allowed to, for example, you ate some food, you're still chewing on some of your food from Shabbos, and you walk outside, you have to wait, you have to finish chewing and swallowing it before you go out into the Shabbat. Okay, so therefore, sort of Meir says, so I have a fifth thing where he walked out, and just a thing. Amrulay enem in Hashem. The Chacham said, yeah, but that has nothing to do with the eating per se. We're talking about chiyuvim that comes from the actual eating of the kezayis itself. Okay. So the question is, the Gemara asks, Neima Islay l'Rab Meir Isu Chalal Isu. Do we have to say that Rab Meir, and the Chachamim for that matter in our Mishnah, hold that Isur Chalal Isur? How are you telling me that even though, I mean, this Chalev was already Osir to eat because it was Chalev, how is it becoming more Osir from the fact that it's Noisir, and more Osir from the fact that he was Tomei, et cetera, such that we should be Mechayev him all these Chatois? In general, we have a concept that Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Now, there are Tanoim who hold that Isur Chalal Isur regardless, but Rameir does not, and the Chachamim of our Mishnah don't necessarily understand, so why here yet? The answer is Nehi de Israel is Nehi de Isr Khalal Israelites, right? It's true that usually they hold Ain Isr Khalal Isr, the mayor and Khalan also, but Isr Kolo, the Isr Moisif Islay. They do agree that Isr Khalal Isr when the new Isr is an Isr Kolo or an Isr
Moisif.
Generally Isr is that's what I'm saying. Leslie, I mean, he doesn't hold of Isr Chalal Isr, but with an Isr Kolo or Isr Moisif, he does hold that it exists. Isr Kolo, we've learned this concept before, we learned in Yavamis, we learned it, we've learned it here and there since then. Isr Kolo is where you have the new things that are included in the scope of the Isr, and therefore we say, therefore, the new Isr that included other things is also able to include this one again. Well, that's what we're going to give it for example. When it comes to Noisa, let's say before only the Chela was also, now the whole thing is also. And then you have Isur Moisif, which is where there's a new dimension of Isur on the object itself. So let's go through what we have here. Tahar mi'ikra lo Isur ela b'chela. When he was Tahar, what would he have been also to eat from the Korban? Only the Chela. Have a lo Tomei, when he becomes Tomei, then we have an Isur Kolo. Now that he became also to eat any other part of the korban, because he's tamei, it tells the fenami isturei ilave chelav. So therefore, the isur kolo comes to also include the isur of chelav. So now he's up to two, chelav and tamei. The chelav meikra like also elabachila. Now chelav of an animal was only also to eat. But he was makdish the animal. I think Gemara is giving the things out of order, obviously, because he was makdish the animal. If he was tummy and he hadn't been makdish the animal, it wouldn't be relevant. But once he was makdish the animal, nigodi chose the face sura dhana. So now you have an isur hana on it, because that's an isur moisis, that before was just bachila, and now it's hana as well.
What's the difference in isur moisis?
That's what I said. Isur kolol is that you have the isur now includes other things that weren't within the scope of the isur before. Like you said, Moisif is where you have a new dimension of Isur on the thing itself.
Of the same
object. For example, Hana versus Achila. Before it was also Achila, now it becomes also Hana as well. That's Isur Moisif.
So
Kolo is we have the same type of Isur. You weren't able to eat it before, and you're not able to eat it now. But before, it's only this that you weren't allowed to eat, and now you're not allowed to eat this, and this. Now you're not allowed to eat Chelev or any other part of the animal because you're tummy. That's it. Okay. So therefore, once you have an Isur Hana of the rest of the animal, it chose the Chela, Gabi Chelev, then you have an additional thing as far as Chelev. The Akati Lehebya to also. Now, all this time so far, the animal would be also only to a Hebya, Avala Gaboya Shari, but it is Mutter to be offered on the Mizeach and brought to the Korban. Havale noiser, but once it becomes noiser, you don't have that anymore. Migrati toisef isur lagabe gaboya. Now you have an isur moisif again, because you have an isur on it, a new dimension of isur on it, that even the mizbeach is not supposed to have it, because it's noiser. It toisef lagabe hedya. So therefore, that also adds an isur as far as the hedya, and makes him liable to another chatas. And, then when Yom Kippur comes, Migo de Itoisef Isur, the Gabi Cholin, now you have an Isur Kolo, because before he was also only to eat from this animal or carbon, now he's also to eat any food. Therefore, Itoisef Gabi Gaboya, so now that also includes the Isur, that now there's an extra dimension of Isur in it, that, for that matter, that nobody's allowed to eat from this carbon, not he, even though, well, he's not allowed to eat from it anyway because he's tummy, but he is not allowed to eat from any other food, to the kippur. Nobody else is either, so even the tahorim are not allowed to eat from this carbon. So that also gets included. Okay. So the question is, the Gemara asks, v'nisni he chatois, in that case, why don't we say that there were five chatois, the nois makavenda ochel kezayis pigel, and say that we're talking about he ate a kezayis of pigel, which is also chayav chas, that's according to the shaking. Well, then we'd have five chatois in one asham. The answer is, b'chodah behemah kamayri b'shtei behemah sloi kamayri. The Mishnah wants to find a scenario that involves all eating from one animal, not where you're eating from two different animals. Pigel and noiser pigle and noiser are one excludes the other. If you have the animal with pigle, then it can't be noiser because it's possible as a carbon to begin with on the ground of pigle, and so noiser never applies to it. Noiser means it was a kosher carbon and then it was left over.
So those two are mutually exclusive. So they say you can't have them in one animal. So that's the thing. Noiser pigle b'chol de behemel and a shachasla. You can't have that. A single animal should be pigle and noiser. So the question is, the Gemara says, "Alam aloy." Well, why not? Mashkatafla. I can find a scenario where you have pigle and noiser in the same animal. Suppose you took a limb of a pigle animal, a pigle oila, and put it on the mizbeach, which is another one of these im ola lo yered cases, where even though you're not supposed to put it on the mizbeach, once you did, then it has kedushas mizbeach, and you leave it over there. The poka pigula mine. So then the issue of pigle goes away from it once it starts, as we're going to see. Now it's able to have the status of noiser. Like Ula says, if you took a koimet from a mincha that was pigul and you brought it up to the mizbeach, the issue of pigul goes away from it once it starts getting burnt. And therefore it can become noiser. So you can have it within one animal. You can have one part of it can be pigul and a different part of it can be noiser.
So here
it's not pigle anymore. Now it can become noiser. So you can have that piece that was brought on the mizbeach is now noiser. Meanwhile, the rest of the korban is pigle.
So the
point is, in other words, if now a person ate from the piece that was on the mizbeach, he can be he's not over on pigle anymore, but he could be over on noiser once it's past the time. But if he ate from any other part of the animal, he's over on the issue of pigle. So there you go. Within one animal, you have pigle and noiser. The answer is the Aver Echad Kamayri Bishnei Evarim Lo Kamayri. Okay, but we can answer that the Mishnah wants to tell us a case that involves one limb of an animal, not where you have different limbs. It's true, you could have different limbs. One could be pigle, one could be noiser, but the Mishnah wants with one piece of the animal. You don't have a case where noiser and pigle can be in one animal. Again, the question is, Allah Maloy, well, why not? Mashkachas law, shouldn't you be able to find a case? Suppose a person, again, put a limb of pigle on the mizbeach, and let's say he didn't put the whole thing on the mizbeach, the palge anchei agav mizbeach, he put half of it on the mizbeach, or palge me'avroi the mizbeach, the other half is off the mizbeach, hanging off, let's say, the ahud mizbeach poka pigle, so the part that's on the mizbeach, the issue of pigle goes away, the havelei noiser, and it becomes noiser. V'chidom ola, like we said, that ola said, koimit pigle shehel on mizbeach, poka pigle mimenu, v'havelei noiser. So within the same limb itself, you have one half of it is no longer considered pigle because it was on the mizbeach, and the other half is still considered pigle, and there you go. He eats half of his eyes from one part of the limb and half of his eyes from the other, isn't he? Yeah. The answer is, omar loy. So the answer is, he says, loy. No, because that wouldn't work. E ruba de mizbeach, if most of the limb is on the mizbeach, shad on the mizbeach, and you consider the whole thing to go according to the mizbeach. You always go according to loy. Ruba de broy, and if most of it is off the mizbeach, shad yel broy. Then you have to consider that it belongs to the outside of the mizbeach. So you can't have half and half, yeah. I mean, okay, in principle, in theory, you could have exactly 50%, but as we learned in Bechor, it's Eshel HaTamtim, so you're not going to be able to say it's either pigle or noiser definitively, but yeah. So the question is, if you're going to say that you go according to the majority, whether the majority is on the mizbeach or not, then Tifshet Deboi Rami Bachoma, then we would be able to answer Rami Bachoma's question, which the question was, whether we go with Evarim after the majority or not. Now, what is Rami Bachama's question? Rashi explains that it refers to a case we learned about in Chulin. We talked about cases over there where an animal was partially born. When we say that it's mutter with the shitta of the mother, when not, one issue was when we talked about in connection with Bechor, when most of the animals born is considered as Kedushas Bechor before that not. So we had a question over there, what if you have that half the animal came out, but within that half is the majority of one of the Evarim. So if we were to say you go according to the majority of the Evar, then you would say now you have more than a half out. So that's Rashi explains that. Yeah, let's say. So Rashi explains that's the case, that's the question the Gemara is asking. So the Gemara did not use our Mishnah as a proof to the contrary. As a proof one way or the other, implying that it's not relevant. So how could that be? Obviously, therefore, that can't be the meaning of our Mishnah. Otherwise, the Gemara should have brought it in that sugya. Now, in that sugya, by the way, the question was asked by Rava, not Rami Bachama, but okay, different views. But Tosfos has a different problem with saying that that's the case that we're talking about. because after all, there you have the question is over there whether we go according to most of the Aver, is the animal considered born or not? That doesn't that's not necessarily relevant to the question over here whether we go according to most of an Aver on the Mizbeach or off the Mizbeach, what the status of that Aver is. So Tosfos rather says that we're referring to something that we learned about in Zvachim, where you had a case similar like we're talking about over here, where you had most of a limb of an animal on the ramp of the Mizbeach and a minority of it on the top of the Mizbeach itself. And the question was whether the ramp, if we say that the ramp doesn't count as part of the Mizbeach itself, then is the limb considered to have a kedusha of
itself?
Well, let's say he put it on the Mizbeach, sure, but we're talking about, let's say you happen to put a limb down where part of it is on the Kevesh and part of it is on the Mizbeach, and you go according to the majority or not. So, yeah. So Tosfos says that's the question we're referring to. But again, the Gemara doesn't bring our Mishnah in that regard, so obviously, therefore, it's not relevant. Now, Ella, we have to answer, because Zayis Echad Kamayri, B'Shnei Zaysim Loi Kamayri. The answer has to be, therefore, that our Mishnah is talking about where he's getting his various chatois because of one kezias of chaylev that he ate rather than two different kezias. If it's true, if we were to eat one kezias from one part of the animal and a different kezias from the other, then yeah, one kezias would be pigle, one would be nicer, and therefore, yeah, but in this case, we're talking about he ate only one kezias.
It would end up.
Well, one kezias, so he can be chayev for chaylev and some noiser and so on and so forth, but if half of that kezias was pigle and half of it was noiser, they wouldn't combine together. Pigle and noiser don't combine. So yeah, and if it was one kezias of pigle and one kezias of noiser, sure, you have to bring an extra chatos for each one, but we're not dealing with that case. We're dealing with you eat only one kezias. Okay. So the question is, what do you mean? The loy? Are you telling me it's not talking about two kezias? In Barkapani Yom Kippurim, we had, what's the fifth chatos that he's bringing? It's because he was eight on Yom Kippur. And over Yom Kippurim, kezias to machayev. On Yom Kippur, a person is not chayev for eating only a kezias. Because in general, in the Torah, when we talk about that a person is not allowed to eat something, and he's chayav for eating it, eating in halacha is defined as a kezias. But on Yom Kippur, the Torah never says in so many words, don't eat. The Torah says, ta'anuris nafshi seichem, you should afflict your soul. And therefore, the Gemara explains in Yoma that when is a person over on eating on Yom Kippur, only if he ate the amount that makes him not feel afflicted. And what would that be? The Chachamim figured out that that is kesevet, that's the size of a large date, which is larger than a kezias. Less than a whole date, yeah. The kezias is Shnei Zaysim. A kezias, the size of a date, is larger, is at least the size of two kezias. So what are you telling me if you eat only one kezias of chaylev is maybe over on Yom Kippur? A kezias is less than a kezias. So obviously, therefore, it has to be talking about... A kezias is the size of an olive, and a kezias is the size of a date. Look in the store, an olive. Even if we talk about that the olives nowadays are smaller than the ones in the times of the Gemara, fine, but the dates would also be smaller. So, but the definition of...
Much smaller than a date.
Right. Yeah, that's the Gemara is saying over here, exactly. The Gemara is saying over here, right. There are at least two olives in a kezias. By the way, based on something in a few lines of the Gemara, we're also going to say many Rishonim learn that there are two kezesim in a kebesa. So that leads to the question, then, in that case, so what's the difference? Yes. Well, so what the question would be really, then what's the difference between a kezesim and a kebesa? There's a few different answers. Maybe a kesevis is slightly smaller than an egg. Maybe in particular a kesevis is the size of an egg without its shell, where the kebesa would be the size of the egg with its shell. Well, again, if you look in the store now and you look at dates and you look at eggs, fine, but not necessarily are dates the same size as the ones in the Gemara. Who says? There's a Gemara in Tainus that mentions, for example, that they had grains of wheat growing size of kidneys in the times of Shimon Shabbat. A kidney of an animal is pretty big. We're not talking kidney beings. Yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is we don't know for sure. But it is a machlokas we're showing him anyway. For example, the Rambam holds that a kezias is no more than one third of an egg. Okay, anyway.
But a kezias of matzah is bigger than an egg.
A kezias of matzah, well, because you have to remember it's flattened out. A kezias of matzah is considered many of the posts can say is about 1 ounce. So when it comes to a shiur de rabbanon, you can be a little more meikle and say it's like 3/4 of an ounce or whatever, fine. But an egg, your average egg, so it's not an egg, remember, it's an olive. If we say that your average egg is about 2 ounces, your average olive, therefore, so an olive, whatever. Because it's 12 ounces. So a kazayas, therefore, would be about an ounce. An ounce of matzah, your average matzah, your average hand-baked matzah is 2 ounces and some, like 2.5 ounces or so. So, yeah, an ounce of it would be, Okay. Anyway, the point is, therefore, again, that if a person is only high of onion pepper for eating a kesevet is at least 2 kazaytim. So we see the Mishnah is talking about where he ate more than a kazayas. Amar Abzera, Kizvencha Ochol Kulia B'Halava. So Rav Zeira says, fine, but the case of the Mishnah would be, let's say he ate a kidney of an animal together with the chaylev on it. So the point is, in other words, part of what he ate was chaylev, which is osur. Part of it was the kidney itself, which is mutter. So therefore, in other words, so he's chayev for eating chaylev and noser and so on and so forth. He's chayev, the chiyuv that he has is, for the most part, is for the chaylev. When it comes to the chiyuv of Yom Kippur, you have to have, but there was also the kidney itself involved, and that brought it up to the size of a kesevet. Because altogether, that was the total amount he ate. Rapapa, I'm going to Malya Batambi. Rapapa says a different answer. That we're talking about, let's say, that he took the chiyuv and filled up the rest of the size with dates. So altogether, he had, again, a size of a date of food, but only one part of it, only the kazayas of it, was chaylev. Kesevet is a big, is dried date. Yeah, let's say, so in other words, tamarind means fresh date. But in other words, the point is, in other words, he took a kesevet, a large date. Anyway, the point is, he took a kazayas of chaylev, he took along with it a couple of small dates, and altogether, the total amount adds up to a kesevet, but of that, only a kazayas of it is chaylev. Rav Adava Acha Masni Heichatois. Rav Adava Acha, in fact, learns that our Mishnah does, his version of the Mishnah is that there are 5 chatois. Umetaris Chatzon Shalchol Kazayis Pigel. He does explain that it means that he ate a Kazayis Pigel. Bule Mishani Kahani Shenu. He becomes Mishanin. He doesn't accept any of the answers that we said before. He says the Mishnah could well be talking about where he ate a Kazayis of Noiser and a Kazayis Pigel, and therefore, in his version of the Mishnah, there's one extra guy. The question is, in that case, according to his version, you could have 6 chatois that where he ate, and he's higher. The note from a convention offer kazayas gum, and say that the case is that he's talking about that he ate a kazayas of blood along with the kazayas of chaylev. The answer is, b'chode achilah kamayri, b'shteh achilah sloy kamayri. The answer is that even he would say the Mishnah is only talking about one time where he's eating, not where he's eating two different things. Swallowing two different times. Because the Shiru Chachamim, the Chachamim figured out the Ein Beis Abliya Machtis Yosin Mishnei Zaysin. The Chachamim figured out that when a person swallows, they can't spit in their throat more than 2 kazaytim. Now, so therefore, in other words, Rav Adar Ba'acha would say, so the case is he ate 1 kazayas of chaylev of pigul and another kazayas of chaylev of noiser, and you have the various other isurim that we mentioned in the Mishnah. But therefore, he has 5 kazayas. More than that, he wouldn't be able to swallow at one time. So
kazayas would be what?
So now here's the thing. In other places, the Gemara uses the expression that a person, in Yoma, for example, in the Sugya about eating on Yom Kippur, that a person cannot swallow more than a kebeza, more than an egg, more than a chicken's egg at one time. So now, based on that, on the face of it, that means if all Gemara is saying you can't swallow more than 2 kazaytim, and that Gemara says it's kebeza, that means kazayas must be half of a kebeza. That's what the Re says in Tosfos over there. Rabbi Natan says not necessarily, because maybe we're talking about different kinds of food. You're talking about, like, for example, an egg, which is one big thing. Fine, you can swallow it all at once. But when you're talking about different pieces of Rabbi Natan says, for example, when we're talking about, let's say, dates, which have olives, which have pits in them, not necessarily can you swallow that many of them at once. So in other words, according to Rabbi Natan, you could say maybe there are more kazayas in an egg than that. Maybe like the Rambam, that there are at least 3, maybe whatever. But the point is that you would say when you're talking about swallowing olives or things that are like olives that have pith, the maximum you could swallow is 2 at a time. But when you're talking about an egg, which is soft, then when you're talking about an egg that is soft, then you're able to swallow a larger amount at a time.
If you say that an egg is 2 kazayas,
mm-hmm.
And an egg is also an oil is two oils is one day.
Is one date, right? So we're saying
and
that
an
oil
is like an egg.
No, so we're saying, therefore, that a date is roughly, right, so what we're saying, but again, so you have Poskim talk about it. Some of them say that what it means is that the date is somewhat smaller than an egg, but not much smaller. So in other words, you would say, let's say, so they were fine, there are two tezeisim in a kesebes, or there are two tezeisim in a kesebes, let's say, and there are two and a quarter, or two and a half, or whatever, in an egg. Some Poskim in particular talk about that maybe there's a difference between an egg with its shell and without a shell. The definition of a kabesa, as far as halakha, is not much of a difference, but it's a difference. And a kabesa means an egg with its shell. A kesebes, therefore, could be the size of an egg without its shell.
An egg is 1.5 days.
No, so according to that, it would come out, let's say that the egg is maybe like 1.1 days or something, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. A different answer that some of the Rishonim give is the difference between the amount a person could normally swallow at one time and the amount that a person can force themselves to swallow. Or Gemara would be saying under normal circumstances, a person won't swallow more than two kazetsim at a time. But if a person really wants to force themselves, they could manage to get an egg at a time. Then. Okay. Fine. We said in the Mishnah of Meir or Mechola, we said that the Meir says that if it was Shabbos, he can also be chayav for carrying it out in his mouth. And the Chacham would say, fine, that's true, but that's not relevant, because we're talking about things that are associated with the eating itself. So the question is, v'nifni, he might see a chayav. The Mishnah could just say, if he took it out, he's chayav. So we're talking about on Yom Kippur. My time of Katan, well, in other words, why does your mayor have to mention, if it was Shabbos, he carried it out? If we're talking on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to carry outside on Yom Kippur either. My time of Katani, it's a Shabbos. So why does the Mishnah, why does your mayor say, if it was Shabbos? Either way, it's Yom Kippur, and you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur either. Omar Rafram, the Rafram son, Zoyse Meres, from this we see, Eruv v'hitzah l'Shabbos, there is a concept of Eruv, and a concept that you're not allowed to carry outside on Shabbos, the Ein Eruv v'hitzah l'yomtiv, but there is no concept of Eruv, and as far as I saw, on Yom Kippur, according to him, it comes out that you would be allowed, on Yom Kippur, it comes out, according to him, that you would be allowed to carry outside on Yom Kippur. Tosfos actually learns a little bit different. What it means is Eruv HaSah doesn't mean the concept of Eruv and the concept of carrying out. It means Eruv HaSah, meaning that HaSah is mixed in with the other Malachas on Shabbos, but it's not mixed in, it's not included with the other Malachas as far as Yom Kippur. That's what Rafram is saying. Mimai, how do we see that? So the Gemara says Mimai, who says that's what it means? Dilma Yesh Eruv HaSah Liyam Kippurim. Maybe, indeed, there is the concept, you're not allowed to carry out Sodom and Kippur, the Hafi Fatani, so all Rameya means in the Mishnah. Im Ha'itha Shabbos, the Hosea, if it was Shabbos, if he carried it out, Chayev Af Mishum Shabbos Yen Kippurim, then he's Chayev also for carrying out on Shabbos and also for carrying out on Yom Kippur. In other words, Rameya would be adding him two Chatoi, because he broke Yom Kippur in two ways, one by eating and one by carrying, and in addition, he broke Shabbos in one way by carrying.
Where do we see that you don't have to carry on?
Well, because in general, you're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Kippur. The same concept, the same thing the Torah says on Shabbos. Ko malacha lo yitasu, it says the exact expression on Yom Kippur. So if it says the exact same sentence, ko malacha lo yitasu. So therefore, as opposed to all the other Yom Tovim, it says ko malachas avoida. Malachas avoida refers to malacha that means malacha of labor. So that's where we get the concept of that you're allowed to do certain malachas on Yom Kippur. Specifically, Malachas Eichel Nefesh. Well, you have the Machlokas in only the Malachas involved in preparing food. So you have the Machlokas, the Shama, the Tillul, is it restricted only when you're doing it for food, or are you allowed to do it for other purposes as well, Mitzvah, etc. But the basic concept, Malachas Kol Malacha. But if Haitzah is a Malacha on Shabbos, then it should be a Malacha on Yom Kippur as well. Rafram is arguing that not. So the Gemara says, but maybe, because Rafram is saying, apparently that's what the Mishnah is implying. If he carried it out in his mouth on Yom Kippur, which came out on a Wednesday, he's not over on Yom Kippur, because there's no issue of carrying on Yom Kippur. But if it was Shabbos, then he cries. Well, that's the word. Chachamim disagree with Rebbe Meir, not on the grounds that they say that it's not correct, but on the grounds they say we're only counting things involving the direct eating itself. But apparently they would agree, Chayv HaChatas only if it's on Shabbos. So Rasham is saying, you're not Chayv on Yom Kippur. However, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah just means the reason why the mayor mentioned Shabbos is to mention an extra chatos. If it was Yom Kippur and Shabbos, then he's chayav two extra chatos, one for the carrying on Yom Kippur and one for the carrying on Shabbos. So not a proof that our Mishnah would say that there's no issue of carrying on your paper.
It doesn't exclude the other one.
Right. Ella, Itmar, Rastram, so no. Rather, if this statement of Rastram was said, Al Habda Itmar, it was actually said in connection with a different situation. Tanya, we learned a brighter. Now, the Pasuk says, you know, of course, you have the third on the Shtalei, that's sent out on your paper.
Yeah.
And the Pasuk says, the shilach biat ish iti, he should send it in the hands of an iti man. So what does iti mean? Somebody who was designated. So the word iti ish lahakshar is a zor. The word ish means that even a zor is able to do it. It doesn't have to be a kohen. The Mishnah mentions in Yuma that the kohenim zor that made a rule that only kohenim would be allowed to do it, but that's al pi halacha, anybody is allowed to. Iti, asila betruma, and when it says iti, that he's designated, means even if he's tomei, and that means even if he's ended in it. Well, you know, of course you're allowed to be Talmai and Yom Kippur, why ever not? I mean, you're supposed to go to the mikvah before
you
Yom Kippur. Well, you, first of all, practically speaking, a good person could become Talmai and Yom Kippur, right? They could become a Baal Keri. They could touch a Sheret. They could accidentally come in contact with a dead body. But besides that, remember, if they came within contact with a dead body within a week before Yom Kippur, they're also still Talmai, right? So no, we're supposed to go to the mikvah before Yom Kippur to try to be Makai yourself as much as possible. But it could happen, a person is Talmai and Yom Kippur for one reason or another. And the din is, if he was designated to be the one to take the third Azazel, then it doesn't matter even if he's Tomei, he still goes into the Azara, even though he's Tomei, and takes the third and leaves.
But the history is on Balkiri or Tuma?
Any person who's Tomei is not allowed to enter with his mikvah, usually.
Right.
But in this case, because the Pasuk says Iti, then he's allowed to, just to go in to get the third Mishalach. And Vafilu B'Shabbos, and it's in the Azara. The Kohen Gadol did the goro on them in the Azara, and then they took the Surah Lashem and they shifted it, and the Surah Lazazel was standing over there, and the Ishi comes and takes it and goes out and starts heading off to Azara. So he can do that even if he's the Tumah. Vafilu B'Shabbos, and even on Shabbos, which means, in particular, actually, it means that, among other things, even let's say he has to carry the goat. The Gemara discusses in Yoma, what if the goat is not feeling well and can't walk? So the din is the person carries it. So even on Shabbat, iti b'mizuman, and the word iti means that he's pre-designated for the purpose. Okay. So the point is, katoni iti afilu b'Shabbat. He's saying that he takes the third lazozel even on Shabbat. Omer Rafram, for here is where Rafram says, according to this version, zoytei meres eruv v'hitzal the Shabbat, vein eruv v'hitzal the Yom Kippurim. That there's no issue of carrying on Yom Kippur. In other words, if Yom Kippur was on a weekday, there wouldn't have been an issue with him carrying the goat, only because of the Braisa saying, Afilu b'Shabbos. So evidently, therefore, that means on Shabbos is a special issue of carrying, which doesn't exist on Yom Kippur. However, the Gemara still says, Mimai, who says that's the correct explanation of the Braisa? Shiny third on Shaleach, the Hashed of Yom Kippur B'Lach. You could argue it's one thing if it was Yom Kippur on a weekday. Fine, there's a mitzvah of Yom Kippur to take the third of Azazel. So therefore, you would say normally there's an issur to carry on Yom Kippur. But in this case, this is an exception to the rule because you've got to bring a Azazel. But not necessarily would you think that the exception would apply on Shabbos as well, and therefore the Braisa needs to tell us that it is. Ella de Rafram Barusa. So we have to say that what Rafram said is Barusa. It was said outside the Midrash, meaning it's not accepted lahalacha. It's not accepted lahalacha, and in fact the halacha is that there is an issue, there is a Ruvahitzah and Kippurim just like there is for Shabbat.
Barusa
comes from the word bar, it means outside. It's like derogatory, but with a twist. It's like saying this belongs outside of this medrash. Like in some other places, instead, the Gemara uses the word bedusa, which is a little stronger. It means like a falsehood, like something that was made up. Bedusa, well, yeah, it means in Russian bodri, like made up. Like some of the Mepharshim say, means like somebody made it up and attributed it to Rashi or something, whatever. And with that said, there is the famous thing that Oblavik, the Rebbe's father, said, that given that it is in the Gemara, it's part of Torah, that means Hashem said that it should be, Hashem, the Chochmoser Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says that it should be part of the Torah, Chochmoser Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who also categorizes it as Barusa. That's not something that we accept for Halacha, but nevertheless, it is part of Hashem's Chochma, and it is part of Torah. Okay. Good. Yeah.